Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. I'm here with Brian, and we're gonna start off with the markets as usual.
Yeah, so there's like a little, you know, bull trap or whatever you want to call it, where ETH kind of recovered, kind of went up close to 2,900 or 3,000 or close to 3,000, and now it's hovering around 2,800. So
people really wanted it to just like. It's gonna teleport from 3 to 4.
Yeah, like the 7 day is like 13% up for Ethereum, and then Bitcoin had an 8% bump. You know, it went from like 39 to like 41, 42. So like 42 Bitcoin, like 3,000 ETH is like where we've basically been ranging at.
We are going to talk about macro. We got like a couple topics planned out for today, but we were watching some of these funny videos about like inflation, the Fed. We were reading some doom porn about like financial catastrophe
Arthur looming Hayes. On the,
yeah, like everything is going down. We had seen like this big article that Bloomberg had come out with, which was pretty tone deaf, and I think. I don't know what they were thinking saying that, because they were saying, you know, inflation hurts people with less than 300,000.
So you got to hunker down and buy money. It's basically
if you don't make 300,000, inflation might be impacting you. And it's, like, who are
it's
they're talking to almost everyone. Is their readership all rich CEOs? It's like
-1%. It's basically like, don't buy avocado toast. Like, you know, save your money. Don't buy your coffee. Basically, like, instead of meat, buy lentils or eat lentils. Like,
no, and kill your dog.
Yeah,
don't, the memes were.
Don't pay for cancer treatments for your dog. Don't drive. But then they push Biden's like, everyone should return to work.
Like, yeah. And I mean,
that's hard to do with
the article that I was reading was Zero Hedge, which I like to read, although. Some people say they might be, I don't know, you know, typical smear this or that. That, I don't know, Brian said he heard that they were from Ukraine or something.
No, they were, the U.S. government like said that he was connected to Russia or something.
Yeah.
Like, but, knowing, or like some.
I mean, some of the stuff they post isn't even necessarily from them writing about it. This was obviously like a crazy worst case scenario where they were looking at stagflation maybe setting in where. Even though we raise the rates really high, basically still inflation is going to keep going. And then if we don't raise the, you know, the rates are going up. I think that there's another, what, 6 priced in?
Yeah, so this week we got our first rate hike where people are like, the Fed was, you know, scaring people and saying they're going to raise it by 50 points, but then they only raise it by 25 points. So to, you know, to soften the blow or to like not spook the market.
And then that was when actually a lot of buying happened. So both the S&P and crypto kind of bounced up.
That was,
I think people were trying to say that people were like happy that they were doing something and like, but also that it wasn't too drastic. I mean, it's going to be weird, though, because it's, I think, the tug of war that they were saying in the Zero Hedge article of raising interest rates to try to tame inflation, which is probably double what they officially say. The consumer price index is up above 10%, and they're trying to say that it's actually 20% if you use different metrics, and it obviously hits poorer people the hardest. Meanwhile, they have this, you know, Bloomberg article being like, if you're under 300K a year in salary, which if you're from a foreign country, which I know we have some listeners in India, shout out India, 300K is like a ridiculous sum of money to expect the average reader to have. And then them telling you to eat lentils and stuff. Like, it'll be interesting to see if they really start hurting the recovery with raising inflation rates faster, or if they just let inflation kind of run out of control. And you kind of got to pick your poison, and it's just a tug of war balance, basically.
Yeah, it's tough with the oil prices going up, and then, you know, Arthur Hayes wrote another fearful article.
In China, they're shutting down some of the stuff, which is where production happens. So supply chain will get hurt even more so.
The kind of hypocritical thing is that, like, Russia, like, provides us with most of our gas in Europe and, like, oil. And so it's like we can't completely cut them off. Otherwise, like, we don't have gas to heat our homes or, you know.
Well, and it's not us necessarily, but it's more like Germany. And it's like, even if we decide that we're not going to spend money on Russian stuff, the Germans are going to keep doing it. And then, you know, they had a deal with India where India is now paying for Russian oil with rupees, and they're exchanging rupees and rubles, which the reason this is a big deal is because before everything was traded in the dollar, especially for energy, which was, you know, oil. And so now if these governments create secret deals between their currencies, and they can tie it to the dollar, but they can pay in their own currencies, and suddenly the dollar is less important and has less significance on the bigger scale. So,
well, didn't they allow China to use the yuan?
Yeah, like, and they're also doing that as well. But they were reporting that India has been taking in large shipments of underpriced, you know, discounted Russian oil to keep the economy running. And so even if, you know, the U.S. isn't buying it, other people are. So, I mean, that's kind of a lot of, like, you know, macro stuff. But we're talking about the inflation stuff and lentils, and then also, you know, geopolitics impact stuff. Following up with El Salvador, Honduras has also said that they will have Bitcoin as legal tender.
Well, and also Ukraine, after that whole the donations in crypto, that whole debacle, and then, you know, supposed airdrop just to get people to donate more.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world, but
and then they legalized crypto too. So in Ukraine, it's, and I mean, that's probably more impactful for Ukraine because, you know, a million people got displaced, or like it was a million or 10 million people that got displaced and, like, don't have access or have lost everything.
It'll probably weigh on the Europeans a lot, honestly. Like, yeah. I don't know. I haven't been. I've got a plan to go back to Barcelona to see people, but I know that a lot of Europeans are, like, donating stuff to Ukrainians and seeing kind of, like, the impact. And, you know, then it's the same where people always try to go to Europe. And so then it's like they start pointing at who should take in the refugees or what their border policy is.
Yeah, don't get us started on, like, the other stuff where it's like they're only letting the white people in. Like,
yeah.
The black Ukrainians,
Africans, like, yeah. And Indian and Nigerian students that were on visa. And
yeah.
But I'm on a different. Did you find the video?
Yeah. So this was the shout out Kyla Scanlon. She makes funny fintech or, you know, educational content and also, like, meme content.
And, like, this is one of our shills. Like, if you're not making 300,000, you probably should get some lentils.
Yeah. So this is, they made a TikTok.
Hello. If you make under $300,000, your inflation might be hurting your wallet. The loser.
Here are some ways you can combat inflation.
If you're lower income, you might spend about 3% of your cash on gasoline.
To alter this, cut the bottom out of your car and pedal it with your feet like the Flintstones.
Or stand outside your house and wait for a large bird to pick you.
Okay, some more tips. Dog food can also be expensive. To counter this, try killing your dog.
The only pet that you should have should be a wall.
Substitutes are also important.
Instead of meat and vegetables, try metabolizing your own cells.
Think outside of the box by living inside.
When it comes to food, don't be afraid to explore. Eat lentils, drink lentils, breathe lentils, eat lentils.
Buying in bulk is hard. Lentils, so try splitting the groceries with a friend and wait till that friend is asleep and rob them of everything they have. There are no friends in the inflation economy.
With all these tips, you'll be a more creative, more resilient person.
Brain elasticity. Hope these tips help. And remember, no one ever said this was easy.
Yeah, just buckle yourself up by the bootstraps.
I mean, the sentiment is pretty bad. And one of the other things I was wanting to mention about, like, seeing all this stuff was also, like, the idea of cyclical, you know, hopefully after people pay their taxes, then people have more money to spend. But I had an interview with two students from Europe trying to write their paper about quantifying and analyzing the adoption of crypto around the world. And so I believe it'll be posted on the Crypto Sparta website, as well as like some clips might be put on the Instagram. But I talked with them for like, you know, over an hour, and they were saying that there's a noticeable downtrend in retail. Like, a lot of average people are not participating. So it's all institutional money. There's no, like, you know, new suckers coming in. There's no exit liquidity. That's what
I'm saying. There's no one's new coming into crypto because of the macro situation.
There's a lot of like bad sentiment too. And I mean, even I saw like some people that I know on Facebook, I'm in a chat with them where it's kind of, I would say, lower stakes, you know, like people don't have lots and lots of money. And people was messaging like, oh man, all those people buying crypto 6 months ago aren't very loud. Like, they're pretty quiet nowadays.
Well, even the crypto commercials, like, really have gone down since the Super Bowl. Like, no crypto.com really, or like Coinbase.
But we were talking about, I sent you that tweet where it was a guy who said that he had made $500,000 in capital gains.
No, he made seven figures and he had $500,000 capital gains tax. And then he gambled it all and then lost it. And then so he doesn't have enough money to pay the $500,000.
Said, I'm 25 years old. Like,
So,
and I mean, at that point, people were just like saying like F in the chat or like declare chapter seven.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is like, we were trying to get hyped up for this episode, but overall, everything's a bit bearish, to be honest.
It's like the mood is like hunkered down. Like, no one wants to spend any money. Like, people know that bad times are like, worse times could come. So they're saving all their money, hoarding their money, not really spending it while inflation goes up. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah. I mean, despite all that, like, we can move forward to, like, honestly, the big story was ApeCoin.
Yeah. So this is not affiliated with Bored Ape Yacht Club, but like, it was a coin made for the community. Like, it was a DAO made for the community to like raise funds or whatnot. And so there was a huge airdrop for 15% of the supply was sent to BAYC and Mune Ape Yacht Club holders.
Yeah, and the Kennel Ape Yacht Club. Yeah.
Yeah. So
people in the ecosystem.
Yeah. So only 15% of the supply. I mean, it's only 5,000 holders, obviously, for the collection. And so are like less than 10,000. And so a lot of people got like, you know, six figure airdrops where like, if buying a Bored Ape Yacht Club has like turned into like the best investment of all time, where it's like,
if you minted one, you're actually,
well, it gives people who minted one some liquidity as well, because think about it, it's like their net worth is their Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is, you know, worth like, well, so it was at 75 ETH. And it dropped down, and people sold some Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, like right after ApeCoin launched, because it's like the hype. So, like, they're able to sell the coins and still keep their Bored Ape Yacht Club. So
I thought it was kind of crazy because I was like, the day that it launched,
it was very scammy.
It looked sketchy and the chart looked confusing. If you go to the first day, it looked like it just dropped.
No, if you go to Dex Screener, and I think Yahoo like reported on it, you showed me an article where it's like it started at 7 and then it jumped up to 40 or like 39.
80, I thought. It was like a weird, it didn't make sense right when it came out.
Yeah, if you like looked on like a Dex Screener or something, it like went up to like $39 for me at least. And then if you go on CoinGecko, it went from like 7 to 9. Like, you don't see that jump. So it was like this really like quick bump where people got fucked.
I heard, and it was confusing to read, I keep forgetting what MEV stands for, but also they talk about like sandwich bots, basically.
Yeah, bots. Yeah.
And so I think someone tried to buy in like a lot.
No,
and
people tried to buy.
Sandwich bot.
It was very like as soon as it
launched, there were some bots programmed to actually purchase like the second.
A lot of hackers opened like scamming attacks or like phishing scams, trying to get people, you know, give up their seed phrases. So a lot, it was like minefield of scams.
I saw it at like 7:50, and shout out Koski, Aubrey, bought at 7:50, and I think it's sitting at around 15:14.
Yeah, so
the first day, people were like FUDing quite a bit, and it did go up.
People sold too.
Yeah.
You know, immediately sold their airdrops.
And that's at 10, so that's a little different than.
But it went from 9 to 16.
Yeah.
And so these people
basically doubled up in the first day. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I got a six figure, and it's already a top 100 coin, basically.
Yeah, the market cap is insane. And then that was what I was thinking was a bit. Not scammy necessarily, but I got a message from Coinbase.
Well, it was a minefield of scam. Like people try to scam other people. Not well, necessarily,
also though, it was like from the community. It was a lot of centralized exchanges started offering it like the day that it got offered.
Yeah, FTX. It was trading on FTX. Like
yeah, they already had I think derivatives like perps and options and stuff. But
and people got fucked trying to like short and long. Like
yeah, like, yeah, like people shorting it got really blown out. Yeah,
that's why you saw that like. That screenshot where that guy got sandwich attacked, where essentially like a bot sees that your slippage is set to like a certain percentage and then immediately buys so they can raise that price up because they know that you're trying to meet there, and then they immediately sell. So they make like that small percentage of profit, and they just do that over and over and over again. So
I was reading about the actual mechanics of it. And then the thing is that there's a thing called the mempool where all the Ethereum transactions
for miners. So that's where they can like sneak in there. And, that's a kind of a fault in the system where it's like a delay,
but they do these things that are in batches. And then based off of what the offered price for the Ethereum, transaction is, then the gas fees are done in order of like you can just see someone is doing a transaction that's really big.
That's their slippage. The bot knows all the slippage transactions.
Well, also what you're accepting, because you can do the faster one. Because if you pay more, you can speed up. No. Because one is the price that you pay.
No, but I'm saying the bot
The slippage of the price you pay for the token.
I'm saying the bot has like can see everything, yeah. Like whether.
Yeah, the bot
your slippage, this or is like getting, whether I'm just you saying,
it's getting
to,
a little confusing because there's two things. There's slippage where you'll accept a price in between these two different things of the coin that you're swapping.
And then you can choose.
Then you can choose the speed. So there's two separate things where you're like, I'll take Bitcoin between 42 and 44,000 and then please get it done for this price at a certain speed. And then if you have high slippage, someone's just going to be like, all right, I'll buy before you and sell after you and just pay more to basically pass the tolls. And then I'll do both transactions before you and then one right after.
Yeah. So basically, and then they just make a profit off that transaction multiple times, like how many. Yeah, that's the thing about bots.
I mean, the programmers out there, it's just like a way, I think, just to like earn. From what I'd heard is like I'd seen this one really good Reddit post where it was like there was a guy who was like, hey, man, I don't know your real name, but I know your anonymous thing. And our bots have been fighting to be the most efficient and make the most money. And it's been a real pleasure.
It's like Suzu or
something. Yeah, and it was like, I just want you to know that if you keep at it, maybe your bot will be as fast and good as mine one day. I'm retiring or something, but like, keep working hard. I've seen your progress. And it's like, the shadow bot, like, wars, like, to like, because I've heard if you screw up your bot, your MEV bot that tries to sandwich attack people, like, those dudes get wrecked. You know what I mean? Like you're forcing giant transactions through code and you're like, oh, whoops. Like somebody else's bot just like screwed mine.
You could buy more than you actually have.
Yeah, exactly. And then you could be like auto triggering like giant purchases.
Yeah.
That Yeah.
So it's a chess. It's a game within a game, obviously.
Yeah. So unless you're actually, there are people out there that know more than us about it, and maybe they can try doing these bots.
I don't know how to code.
No, bots. Like, don't be like, oh, sandwich attacks, you say. Like, why don't I just program a bot? It's like, these are like super geniuses trying to scam each other.
So yeah, ApeCoin has been crazy.
And well, the interesting thing too is that they're saying that they're gonna build a metaverse that's different.
And
DAO. I think it's like a DAO, but what they're trying to do, there's Decentraland and Sandbox, and they're trying to compete with them. And so I'm wondering if, you know, is there gonna be a multiplicity of metaverses? Like, I think that Decentraland and Sandbox. Yeah, exactly.
The multiverse,
like, how many metaverses are there going to be, and which ones are important? And like, basically, I'm going to say that, like, for sure, it's not Facebook.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, all these layer ones competition. Who wants to be, who wants the top spot? Who wants to take over? And it's the same thing with metaverses now, with all these different Decentraland, Sand, Meta.
And the thing that I think honestly is that it's going to be like one of the video games. Like, why actually be caring more about an actual metaverse instead of like, I'd rather play a video game and then that will be my metaverse. Like, why just start with the metaverse to like go live in?
Yeah, it's probably gonna be a gaming company that
actually gets people
hooked. That's why like Microsoft bought Blizzard and like Sony bought,
honestly, World of Warcraft is already a metaverse, like
exactly. Like, so they're definitely like buying an intellectual property to try to transition. And so yeah, be curious to see how things play out. Especially where it might take you for a surprise, since everything's been so bearish. And you might think that like nothing's happening, but things are happening, I guess.
Yeah. Besides that, there was also this thing that happened on like Twitter, basically, that was having to do with Luna and Doquan. And so, I mean, Brian, you want to kind of say who he is and, like, what's the deal with Luna?
Yeah, so he's the founder of Luna, the head guy of Luna, similar to, like, a Vitalik of Ethereum. And so he is building the Luna ecosystem out. And he's behind UST.
That's the big thing. I just, sorry to interrupt, but they used to call him Stablequan. And then the big thing is that US Terra, is a really large stablecoin, and this is what I wanted to mention was I had heard that they're bringing Terra to AVAX, which is like, what? Like, these are just some next level.
Well,
I'm just like,
they
what?
Already have that anchor protocol on AVAX now, and so the thing is that with Luna, it's like Luna and UST are linked to each other because it's like $1 UST minted burns $1 worth of Luna, and so that like creates,
it's like some weird
supply demand mechanism.
It's a really intense ecosystem, and then Doquan has backers with serious fucking pockets. So I believe they just invested like $3 billion more or
something. They're doing 10 billion BTC buy,
yeah,
for because of they raise funds
to then like
of,
I think
like, Three Arrows
and, yeah, to like maintain liquidity for the, or I don't know exactly what the plans were for that.
Basically make a sense of like a reserve currency where it's like they're buying assets to back UST. So they're going to buy Bitcoin. And so they raise like $10 billion. And so they're going to start buying Bitcoin soon to accommodate, you know, to increase it back or like to have a
pump it up. You got to pump it up.
So like, we'll see what yeah. I think they're doing like $3 billion at a time. So we'll see.
Shout out Doquan.
The effect goes.
But Doquan put down a, what was it, $10 million bet?
So it was originally $1 million. And then.
And then they started measuring.
Algon trading.
Algod. Yeah.
Algod trading. And so.
ALGOD. I don't know.
Kobe, they asked Kobe to be like the middleman.
I think he volunteered and then they took him up on it.
Well, yeah.
So he's the escrow where people are leaving the money.
And he posts the wallet address, and then people started.
and he was like, someone else put in 2 million. Like, why? Like, someone, there's like two bets of 10 million, and then random people are putting in.
So,
yeah.
AlgaTrading, he's like bearish on USD. It's a very elaborate Ponzi, like everything.
It's basically a bet though on the price of Luna in like a year being significantly higher. I think it's 88, just, right?
No, so Alga thinks it's going to be less than 88. And yeah, then
it's like, what is it at now? What's Luna at now?
Well, it's at like 90.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
91.
It's 91?
93.
Oh, so, was so he was trying to say that it's going to, because it was lower at the time. Man, I should have listened to my friend Omar from college told me about Luna. Like,
so two weeks ago it was at 80, but it's been basically sideways around 88. And so that's what they like said. Like, they set the price at 88. So they think, Algot thinks it's going to be less than 88 a year from now, and then.
But there have been scares that UST was going to like.
Well, the whole Wonderland thing was a scare with UST, and you know that kind of people. That was a very big stress test for Luna, and so yeah, that, and then people were scared that it would depeg. And it was like, I think it got to like 85 or something. And people got liquidated on the DGEN box because people just loop, you know, that's essentially leverage. And then.
Because didn't it go to 0.9 or something?
Yeah.
And then they just, Doquan topped it off or something and then.
Someone immediately invested money in.
Because someone was just buying that thing. And like, if it's like stablecoin. Eventually, when it's stabilized, like
that's the thing,
you're buying a dollar for less than a dollar.
Anchor right now is like you can get 19%, 19.5 APY on UST, but it's unsustainable. Like right now, it's burning money. It's unsustainable. So you're probably not going to get 20% for
forever.
Forever, maybe not even this year. And people are like, they had to put more money into the reserve to fill it. So it's just like burning cash or burning coins right now, so it's crazy.
Yeah, I think we're like with this bear market stuff, it's like there's less to talk about, so we could keep it brief, but we got one topic kind of left before the shows. But it was kind of funny because there was a lot of talk about it because it was like a high profile thing with two big characters. Yeah, and Vitalik's been in the news more and more, and I think people are starting to catch on.
Well,
is he on the cover of
that was what it was, is that so he has a Time, he was on the cover of Time, and so people are making fun of his Time cover because they don't know who Vitalik is. And he's, if you ever seen a picture of him,
he's very thin, and he and also if you ever heard him talk, I would listen to him on either Up Only or on the Lex Fridman podcast, and the guy is incredibly intelligent, and he kind of sounds a bit.
So this was the Time cover, and it's a really bad cover of him. And this t-shirt says, "The Prince of Crypto has concerns. The Ethereum creator Vitalik fights to fix the world he creates." And so people were, and he reads the trolls, and he says it's on Up Only. And because he doesn't get most of the references, because he's not into like pop culture or anything. And so some of the quote tweets are like, "I've never seen a face more deserving of being shoved into a locker in my entire life. This guy looks like the clone Tom Brady keeps locked in his basement to periodically feed on to stay youthful. This is if Tom Brady was on dog food. How's it possible to be this rich and still be ugly? Oh my god, get a hair transplant or Botox, a new wardrobe, something." And so in his quote, he announces that he didn't even know who Tom Brady was. And then Tom Brady actually came out and said, like, "Big fan, nice to meet you."
No, this is what he said, though. I didn't even know who Tom Brady is. Had to ask people around me. My best guess was that he was the actor from Mission Impossible. And so then, yeah, anyone else thinks he looks like if Tom Brady did meth? The Prince of Crypto kind of looks like Tom Brady after 2 years of retirement and no weightlifting. Bro look like a dystopian Tom Brady. Tom Brady with the reverse Captain America super soldier serum.
Yeah.
They just like, and then there was someone who responded. Well, Brady responded.
Yeah, he's like, big fan, now you know. Or
and then he showed his, like, without you, my NFT autograph company wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And so then it was, like, a charming thing. And then they were just like, is this the beginning of the Brady-Vitalik friendship? And someone was like, yo, somebody talk to Warner Brothers and get this buddy mystery flick, like, buddy-buddy drama, like, get this greenlit. Well, need these two in a room
Tom
together.
Tom Brady was trying to get into Hollywood more when he retired.
Yeah.
But now he's back, but we'll see.
I mean, he's gotten paid in Bitcoin, hasn't he? I mean, he's
already... Yeah, I think... I mean,
him and Giselle are FTX,
aren't they? With FTX.
Like, him and Giselle both are FTX.
They're in FTX commercials. Yeah.
But one of the other things, I don't know what the deal was with all this publicity, but Vitalik was talking about also like some other article where he was like kind of fudding NFTs. And his quote was like, you've got people buying and selling these $3 million monkeys, and it's a different kind of gambling. So he's basically saying NFTs are like gambling. And it's kind of like, man, like, come on, dude. I don't know, though. I was like, I kind of ignored it where I was like, Vitalik, I love you, just not on this topic. Like, really, dude? Like, you're going to FUD and say that Bored Apes are bad or something?
I mean,
I know that he got upset that, like, NFTs were really clogging the system and caused, like...
Well, yeah, people are complaining about the gas.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, it's clear, like, the system wasn't ready for, like, the NFT boom. And I think gas prices have gone back down in because now it's been bearish.
Yeah, it's like $20, $40.
But, yeah, so it's been eventful, to say the least, this whole thing. Now it's been, like, basically a year now. Officially, it's been a year. But it's crazy how things have turned. In 1 year.
Yeah, it's like common with those little things. Like, you remember that Bitfinex hack? That was like 7 weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
There's like an insane amount of like, there just every week there's, you know, news and news and news. And it's like, it's becoming, you know, it feels like sometimes the podcast also has to go macro because it's like becoming a part of the world, you know, that we have today where crypto is going to put an impact on moving money and refugees and.
Well, yeah, look at the executive order from Biden that we talked about where it's basically, you know, to learn more about crypto, to make sure we can be, the U.S. can be a place of innovation for crypto and not hinder it.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, we got shills in this bear market. Are we shilling? What are you shilling?
I mean, I was joking with him, but it's like kind of true where it's like, I'm showing like, you know, physical collectibles, some Rolexes. Diamonds, Rolexes, some good hedges against, what was the other one? A Birkin bag?
Real estate.
Real estate, Chanel bags. But I mean, of crypto, I kind of had this deep sense, and it's almost like a weird one, where I'm like, feeling Ethereum, where it's like a safe play, where I'm like, it's undervalued and it feels about time. And I know but like Brian said, the bull trap where it's like, I was like, okay, if it's at 29, it's going to go above 3. Like I felt that there was going to be a lot of buys
but
at 3.
Didn't go at 3. It didn't. It like
nah, there was like resistance. It. Yeah. So, but I'm feeling that at some point, the resistance breaks. Just got a feeling. I'm going to go with Ethereum. Plus, like, yeah, bullish on, like, Vitalik and, like, hopefully scaling low gas fees.
After that rate hike, like things got.
And then really people bullish. Being a bit more chill. Yeah, exactly.
Like there's actually very few bears.
Like there's a lot of secret food. Money piled on the sidelines.
Just waiting.
Waiting. It's institutional money. And we're at the whim of like, there's no GameStop crowd of like people spending a couple hundred bucks to like pump the bags. Like that's not happening anymore for
a while. They don't want to pay the gas.
They're kind of, screwed at the moment.
And yeah, so my show, I'm bullish on Trader Joe. Like staking Joe, you can stake it for like 20% APY, and then you can like loop it a little bit and get like bonus rewards. And then you can get it's trading like if you bought it last week, it was like 80 cents and now it's like a dollar. So it's like a good 20%. But yeah, there's a lot of staking rewards. And then like when AVAX booms, like usually Trader Joe is like the next one to go, like trickle down because it's the main DEX. So
I'm just going to also mention, because I was looking at it, looks like looks rare. The dumping of the rewards might've bottomed out because it was at one, got up to 175. It's at 146. I looked at it and I kept my rewards in wrapped ETH instead of buying the looks. Might have been a mistake because I could have the appreciation on the looks. If looks is bottomed, you keep earning wrapped ETH based off how much looks you have. So if I had converted, not only would I have more looks that increased in price, but I would have been earning more rewards. So I'll take a second look at that. But looks rare. I mean, OpenSea, the whole NFT marketplace. A little nervous on all that. Like, I don't know if I like OpenSea, or I don't know if Coinbase is ever going to launch their NFT thing. That's been waiting forever. But I mean, yeah, NFT marketplaces, looks rare. Yeah, I don't know. Metaverses, I'm just saying the opposite of a show, like short all of these. They can all be copied. Short crypto. They can, well, some of the protocols where it's just like, this can be vampire attacked. This can be decentralized. This can get easy competition. Decentraland and Mana, Brian was showing them way back, and then they pumped like crazy. And now I'm like, now it's going to be like the gig is up. You might have been the first.
To find the next one.
There's no like monopoly. Like I'm more comfortable in OpenSea than like the Metaverse projects because they're just so early.
It's like Link with Oracles. Like there's no, I mean, Link has monopoly, but there's no NFT version of that. And there's like, I mean, they had plenty of time to do that, right?
Yeah, it's the same with the nodes where I'm just a little nervous. OpenSea like
fumbled the bag a little bit.
They really did. They really could have been better to their users, but
everyone's trying to make a buck now.
Yeah,
taxes coming up too. I still haven't received my need taxes. A house.
Baby needs some shoes. Hustle. All right, we're gonna hustle. Hey.
Peace. Thank you for listening. This has been, I think, episode 40 of the Crypto Sparta podcast. So thank you for listening. Peace.